welcome to DestroProfs.com, anime manga podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Busted Tees. Started by the College Humor people, Busted Tees has brought you awesome and hilarious graphic t-shirts for many, many years. Right now, all shirt bowl and loyalist tees are currently on sale for $15. That's awesome. Click the link at the bottom page or any of the banners on the site and go check out some awesome and hilarious t-shirts. That's BustedTees.com. While our shirts are not awesome or funny or really shirts, we do have them. Head over to DestroProfs.com/store and check some of those stuff out. All the products in our store is currently on sale as part of our Starving Artists sale. The costs have been cut down to just the bare minimum for production of the products and the paying of the artists who designed them. The money all goes to them. The money all goes to those two people. Excuse me. And we are just trying to raise the bare minimum for payout from Spreadshirt. If you could go out and check out some of that stuff out. They are really fantastic products, some really fantastic artists. You'll support them, and then we can move over to our new store where we'll have new stuff. Probably, hopefully, maybe. We will have things there, I will say. So yeah, head over to DestroProfs.com and check some of our shit out. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Joe, today we have Bogemon.
Hello.
And Butchertron.
Yo, hoy, hoy.
Yeah, so, talk before the show. Myself and Bogemon both have something terrible to talk about. And since we are kind of biased, Pudge, which terrible thing do you want to hear about first?
I need to choose between who talks first?
Yeah, you need to choose between whether you want to hear about a terrible manga first or the terrible end of a manga first.
Terrible manga.
Alright, that means it's my turn to start. Okay, so I guess I'll start off with the terrible manga. It's called Crossbreak. It's terrible.
I've never even heard of it.
I'm actually trying right now to figure out who even freaking publishes this. The U.S. publisher is GoKami?
I've never heard of them.
So I guess it's pretty obscure. Which I guess would kind of add into why it's so terrible. So I can point out right off the bat, like after the first page, I could point out the biggest problem with this manga. Words everywhere. Sorry, I just like smacked my mic halfway across the room.
Fucking bitch. Fucking
but
words.
Like, so manga is a mix of a read and a visual medium. Just like American comic books, and you know, you have some words to describe some of your sound effects. You show motion, you show different things.
Yeah, such as, well, this, in one manga I read recently, a guy took off his jacket and the sound effect was "take off."
There's some
not
almost
even
as bad in this one. Almost as bad. Probably more frequent though. Because it's every page, like, just constantly. So yeah, what they decided to do here is, even if it's something that's clearly shown, they have words describing it. But at the same time, they have characters talk both inside of and outside of speech bubbles. So I'm just going to go through the first frame here. Character just woke up. Damn it, in a speech bubble. I broke another one, in a speech bubble, out of the speech bubble, even kicking it barefoot. Now, at first I thought this was just his thoughts, but then later other characters are hearing it, so unless they're all psychics, he's speaking while not using speech bubbles, and they decide to use another font outside of speech bubble for no reason. His foot is red, but it also says sting, and the alarm clock that he broke says busted beside it.
Just hearing it described sounds horrible.
Oh, and just for a couple more entertaining use of words, there's some glowing mushrooms. They have white halos around them on a black background, so they're clearly glowing. But still, and not just the first time we see them, every fucking time we see them, they say glow.
Can you just imagine if some of the things, like, if some of the things like in the real world actually had the like onomatopoeias where the onomatopoeia for their thing is just their is just what the word is, like something's like you just hear glow.
But my favorite frame of the entire manga, nobody speaks in this entire thing. Basically, one character walks onto the roof while the other one has painted the roof in like pictures and stuff, like childish pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Along all of the lines, multiple times, there are bubbles that say stroke, stroke, stroke. Character thought bubble. Wow. Now here's the weirdest one. Speech bubble coming from the paintbrush. Paint.
That sounds horrible.
I have never read something more confusing. Like, it's terribly confusing because there's just so many words on every fucking page you can't fucking follow it. But I guess I'll get into the story a little bit. It's kind of generic. So I'm not going to bother to remember anyone's names. We've got, Yu-Gi-Oh! Hare and his brother,
some asshole.
Douchey. they're, I guess, our main characters. Douchey has long hair and doesn't like to wear shirts and wears a cross necklace. So...
fucking asshole.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Hare, he's, you know, an average high school student. I'm sorry, my mic's being fucking batted around a ton, and it's changing my volumes all the time, so I'm going to sound like... kind of like that. I fix it now.
It'd be great if it started changing volumes while you were doing that. Like, it just started, like, getting louder and quieter as you, like, as you got, like, further away from the mic, so it just, your voice just sounded the exact same.
So, anyways, yeah, he's a pretty average high school student. He has a childhood friend, of course. She kind of gets bullied. He sticks up for her. He's also her tutor. Childhood friend!
Yep.
Anyways, he's unsure as to what he wants to do after high school. And then his brother decides to tell everyone he's going to study abroad. But then his brother, I guess, drugs him and sends him to another world. I guess because he can do that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I remember the last time I sent my sibling to an alternate world.
And this alternate world is, it actually has one of the same plot devices as Futurama. Where everyone is marked with a job. And if you don't have a mark, you are hunted down and killed or arrested.
Good God.
So that's basically the rest of the thing. He has no idea where he is. He meets a guy who knows his brother and is trying to, you know, help him out. He freaking runs from the people who are hunting the jobless people, then decides to get a fake job mark, makes a bunch of money playing the piano, and his childhood friend gets bitten by a poisonous bug.
Adventure, ho!
Oh, by the way, I don't know how the childhood friend got there to the alternate world. I guess Douchey sent her there.
Well, he's a douche. And you know what? I need a drink. This manga is destroying me.
So yeah, that's Crossbreak. It is terrible. It's confusing. The action sequences are few and far between, and they're not even that good. Mostly, the main character says, "Oh look, people are trying to kill me. I'm going to run now."
Do they ever show any emotion on his face or anything?
Not really. You know what? I wouldn't know because I'm too distracted by the. Words saying run, 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 pant, 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 sweat, sweat, sweat.
Yeah,
crash,
yeah, if
boom,
have, yeah,
zam. It's like Bill Cosby wrote a fucking manga.
If he didn't have an emotion on his face, it'd be like there'd be like an arrow pointing to his face saying what emotion it was.
Actually, I think there's a point where they do that, but I can't find it. But it's either relieved or something.
Good God. This is terrible. This is way worse than what I had.
Oh.
When I had rivals.
A character falls in water and they have a word that says drenched. Because, of course, when you fall in water, you don't you come out perfectly dry, unless someone tells you they're drenched.
Yeah, totally. Like, I actually just kind of walk around with a drenched sign to get people wet after they fall in puddles.
Rush, 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 zoom! Rush, 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 rush. Sorry, I'm just reading it. It's actually entertainingly bad. That's the thing. So I almost feel like people should look into it just to see how fucking bad it is.
I will. I'm in need of something that's like interestingly bad and not just bad. So anyway, anything else?
Well, that's it for manga. I only have one other thing. It's anime. And it's, you know, it's a big one, but since we don't have a separate big three thing, I'm going to talk about it because I had a really stupid filler arc that I think was originally supposed to be a movie, but then ended up being a filler arc, Naruto.
Okay.
I need to talk about the stupid fucking filler arc that I think was supposed to be a movie, but then wasn't a movie, so they made it a filler arc.
Okay. I haven't watched the Naruto anime in years, so I have no idea where this is set in the timeline, so go ahead.
Okay.
This will be fun.
I can tell you where it's set in the timeline. It's set just before the war.
Okay,
which is
then.
Where they set all of the fucking filler right now.
Yeah, because, you know, they need something interesting to happen before the war.
Okay, so you're going to hear some stuff that's going to piss you off because you know where it is in the timeline. Okay, so, first of all, Kabuto is kind of involved in this. But he doesn't look anything like a snake. Like, there's not a single snake scale on his body.
Okay.
So he's just Kabuto.
He's just a dude.
Yeah. But this is clearly after the fight with Pain, so he should be starting to look pretty snake-like by now.
Yeah, he should have absorbed Orochimaru's chakra and was then mutating it before Yuan's.
Yeah. So
before much more interesting things happened.
Failure on that. So in this one he's using the reanimation jutsu. But at the same time, he uses a different version that uses snakes in water. And this one's not permanent. They'll degrade after time.
What?
But fuck you, we get to bring characters back for a little while, don't we?
What? Why wouldn't he just use the regular resurrection jutsu? They wouldn't degrade. 'Cause
he hasn't fully learned it yet.
Fuck him.
Yeah. So anyways, Naruto drinks some of this water that he's using for that, and he gets one of these snakes inside of him.
If you know what I mean.
This sort of becomes a plot point later, but honestly, hardly. So anyways, then this village gets destroyed, and these kids are with this fat dude. And This is all going to come together, because most of this I watched a while ago, but the last episode I watched today, so it'll come together by the end. But I'm telling you the stuff you need to know so that you are able to rage at how stupid it is by the end. So anyways, yeah, he's taking them to this other village where his childhood friend is waiting to help take care of the kids, and then Naruto and Sakura and Sai show up there, and they're mad because they see ninja, because they were killed by their village was destroyed by resurrected ninja, and they're like, Konoha is evil, blah, 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 for like a few seconds. And then, in being scared of Naruto, they run across an unstable bridge that collapses, nearly killing all of them, except Naruto saves them. So, you know, hey kids, I guess they're kind of scary, and you know what the best solution is? Run to our deaths!
Yay!
Responsible parenting.
Who doesn't love running to their deaths? It's fun!
So yeah, then that all gets sorted out, but the one kid's nervous of Naruto because she's psychic, I guess.
That's always a great thing to say, just psychic, I guess.
Psychic, I guess. So then the snake matures, Naruto pukes it up, it makes a Kyuubi-type monster thing, and then it takes Naruto, and Naruto gets put into this giant super weapon thing. And this giant super weapon thing, it basically takes the Kyuubi chakra and makes a Hydra.
What?
Yeah, it makes a Hydra.
What? How? What is even the hell?
So anyways, now to the parts that I actually remember. So the what happens is Naruto suddenly gains a power. Naruto suddenly gains the ability to somewhat control the Kyuubi. In that he's able to make a giant Kyuubi avatar and fight with it against the Hydra.
Is this one of those arcs that just paints the Kyuubi as, like, no character, just a force of chakra that needs to be used?
Yeah, pretty much. And then... then what happens
but
is
he
the
has
pudgy
a
guy...
character! He's a decent guy in recent chapters of the manga.
The pudgy guy and his childhood friend, who, guess what, there's going to be a romance between them. They show up with the children, bringing the children to the battlefield. Smart move. And they say, hey, we're going to go stop that super weapon thing being completely useless fighters and unable to get it anywhere quickly. Hey, Sai, who could fly over there, and Sakura, who's really strong, and, fuck. I'm forgetting. Yamato, yeah, you really capable ninja, you stay here and watch the children.
Yeah. You're really capable ninja that can use a jutsu that nobody else can. That's
yeah.
That guy, right?
You guys... yeah, you guys who could easily, you know, go and deal with this problem in like 30 seconds, you stay watch the kids. I'll run my pudgy ass over there with my hot childhood friend and we'll stop it. We'll stop it. Of course, the childhood friend, she also has an enormous bottom lip and it bugs the crap out of me. Like, this is a fucking fat bottom lip. It's like 2.5 fingers.
Christ.
Yeah. Someone got some injections.
Yeah.
So anyways, they run over there, and, like, they're working to stop it, while Naruto loses control of the Kyuubi, kind of doing part of the Kyuubi transformation that he did in the pain fight. And then the crowd starts breaking apart, and, oh, look, the pudgy dude and the chick who can't really fight very well, they're kind of useless, and she's hanging over a precipice, and she can't pull herself up, and he's holding onto her hand, and she's going to fall. And we have this moment of, I love you, but you're going to die. Oh, no, everybody cry. By the way, there's been a lot of crying going on in the anime recently. Lots of crying. I mean, on a side note, what just happened in the most recent episode that's out of filler is that Gaara had his fight with his father, and fucking Gaara cried.
Yeah, I can't remember the actual fight that he had in the war. Didn't he fight in the war with his dad?
Yeah. It's a really short-lived fight that had a huge amount of build-up.
Yeah, I can't... I remember that, like, his... I remember that, like, it was, like, revealed that his sand is actually the spirit of his dead mom or something.
His ultimate defense is actually his mom.
Yeah. Which, you know, it worked for Bionic Commando. Kind of.
So anyways, Naruto goes on this rampage, he's like about to murder the children, until the one kid who is psychic, I guess, says, don't give up. And then suddenly, he regains control, and he gets the Kyuubi form that he unlocks after training with Killer B, even though he's nowhere close to that yet!
What the fuck?!
I know, that's exactly what I said. I'm like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, you don't just get given it. You don't just get it for no reason. Because some kid said, don't give up.
It's not even an I believe in you type of thing. It's just, don't give up. He wasn't going to give up. He was probably fighting the entire... This week is just determined to piss me off.
In this form, he goes and he saves the girl with the giant lip, and the pudgy dude manages to save the day because he realizes that the tune that the girl who is psychic, I guess, has been humming this whole time actually deactivates the whole machine thing, and then Naruto fights the Hydra, and with perfect control over his Kyuubi powers, defeats it. I mean, like, he knows how to do the extra limbs without even being told about it. He just does.
Good God, man. This is fucking idiotic.
But some of the good points about the Naruto manga, or the anime, it's gone out of the filler arc now. We got to see Naruto actually use some of his Kyuubi powers, which was great when he did the one-fingered Rasen Shuriken. That was fucking epic.
Yeah, dude. When he and Kurama, which is the fox's real name, which I now know, when those two actually start working together, it gets awesome.
That, and then there was Gaara's fight with his father, which made me wonder, if he could create gold dust, why was there ever any issue in the Hidden Sand with money? Ever.
Because fuck you. Because I guess he was like a really greedy asshole.
I just realized I don't have the soundboard open, and that would have been perfect. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the gold like that. Maybe golden is like useless in that world or something.
Although they do mention having a gold sand trade, it doesn't seem to do much for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe gold's only worth like $5 in that world. You know, I have these 12 bricks of gold. I'll give you $10 for it. You flooded the market and drove the price down.
The one other thing that bothered me about the finale of the freaking filler arc is Sai has incurred almost no battle damage whatsoever. And like, so the girl's about to fall and he's like, oh, I know, I'll paint a bird and go save her. So he pulls out his paintbrush and his scroll, and then he falls over. Like, what the fuck?
His blood sugar was low.
What the fuck?
That is so. This is so stupid.
It is so stupid. I hate filler, and this one, seriously, it looks like it was designed to be created to be a movie. But then just ended up
It sounds like a movie.
It does. It sounds exactly like one of the movies, and it's animated like one of the movies. So
worse.
I can't help but think it was originally intended to be a movie, but they just decided, hey, we need some episodes.
Yeah, it was like, okay, when's the next filler arc going to be coming out? What filler arc? I thought we were just going into the war. I was like, we're not going into the war yet. We need another filler arc. Damn it! Well, we have this movie. Okay, get fine. Chop that up. Let's do it.
I know good things are coming from the anime, though. Like, I accidentally saw a spoiler of what's coming in the next episode, and oh yes.
Yeah, the manga's getting pretty good, too. Like, right now he's fighting the Ten-Tailed Beast. Hinata is finally back. Interesting, I love you to being stabbed.
And Naruto's like, I'm just gonna completely ignore you.
Yeah, they held hands. Which was nice.
And
now we're finally seeing what the fuck Sasuke is going to be doing. And also, recent chapter, spoiler for the recent chapter, Naruto's dad is back. He got resurrected. By Orochimaru.
What the fuck is that sound?
I don't know.
That's a man, I think.
Yes, it is.
I believe it's Nightwalker.
We'll enjoy this for the rest of the show, folks.
It hurts my brain almost as much as that filler arc did. Anyways, yeah, that's actually all for what I've been watching, so, and reading.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. You fucking asshole.
What?
Just got really loud for a second. So anyway, I guess, getting on to me with my horrible thing. So, Cage of Eden is now over. The ending was shit. So the ending lasted, I think, 5 chapters. And so let's just run them down. Because they're all done in flashback. Yeah, so it is eventually revealed through the kids, through like all the kids from the plane detectiving shit out that they're actually in the future. Like, they were staying at this place called, like, the place that looked exactly like the school building. They broke into, like, a cafeteria place where they found, like, a toy replica of the plane they were on, as well as the pictures of every single person who had survived the plane crash. It was up on a wall. And then they eventually learn, oh, shit, we're in the future. And then we flash back to just before the plane crash, where we meet the main character, Akira's mom, who goes to shit after her kid dies. Well, supposedly dies. Like, the plane, they just kind of lose contact with it at one point. It just kind of disappears because it went into the future because of giant ghost lobster claws, which those never explained. So yeah, then she has lost her job. She started drinking. She just breaks into the school every night to just sit in her son's desk and cry. You know, as you do. Before she's picked up by a really rich guy who is actually the grandfather of Mia, I believe her name was. She's a girl from the plane. And so anyway, he is in a very similar situation to Kira's mom, where he is the only person, he's like the only person who mattered to him in his life, his granddaughter died, and so he just kind of gone fucking crazy. And so then he brings her in on the Eden Project, where they would build a man-made island and populate it with extinct animal species, like dinosaurs and shit. Because, you know, that's what you do when you're an eccentric billionaire and your granddaughter dies. You build a fake island and fill it with dinosaurs.
You build Jurassic Park.
Yes, only kind of not. Because it was actually meant to be like a grave site. Yeah, that's the entire reason he built the island. It was to honor his granddaughter, because on this island there are like 4 towers. Well, towers, quote-unquote, where they're like the big important thing. There's one tower where it's like a residential facility that looks exactly like their school. Excuse me. There's one where like all the... There's one that's like a lighthouse that's where all the creatures are designed and stuff. Then there is the pyramid, where below that is the research lab where they actually build the animals. And then there is just an antenna that is a grave to Mina. Yeah, Mina, that's her name. So yeah, then Akira's mom just goes fucking crazy and throws everything she can into this project, like all the guy's money, everything, and then he dies and she takes over the company, and then she adopts somebody else and brings her into the project too, and it cost them like hundreds of trillions of dollars. They had to get like 7 other countries to pitch in money to help pay for it. And then they finally build it, and Akira's mom dies before it's finished. So, she was entirely pointless. And then it goes to current day kind of thing, where they've been there for a few years, they're all like in their 20s now or something, and we learn that it's been like 100-some years since the island started being made. And here's a big shocker. We never figure out if the main guy and his childhood friend ever got together. Because, you know, it's a fucking shonen manga. Like Yarai, who was the second in command. We learned that he actually ended up getting together with his teacher, who he was really protective of because she reminded him of his mom. So that's a bit weird. And there are actually 2 Minas on that island, one of them who's a real one, and one of them who is a stand-in who is a guy, even though he still dresses up like a girl, even like years down the line, which is weird. And, oh, fuck, this fucking... It's... I can't... It's so stupid! It's like, hey, let's get the origin of the island. That's fine, but... What was the point of showing us everything that happened with Akira's mom? Because none of it amounted to anything. What was the point of showing us that Akira's mom had adopted another girl when she amounted to nothing? What was the point of actually flash forwarding years later to when they were leaving the island when it again gives us nothing? They had so many questions that were never answered. Like for example, what killed everyone on the island? What the fuck was up with those weird giant monster claw things? How do they travel into the future at all? Questions and questions and questions that never got fucking answered. And also, this island. Everybody in the world at this point in time knows about the island. Do they never think, hey, let's monitor the island so that giant fucking killer whale things from the ancient times don't just start eating people on the beach? Like, there's this island filled with dinosaurs and poisonous shit that will cause your eyes to explode. No one thought, hey, we should keep an eye on this place. Because they were there for years. And no one ever saw, no one ever came to see them. No one ever found out that they were there. It was all just, oh shit, everyone's dead. Just fuck it. Ignore it. And it sucks so much because it has the Lost problem where it built up this really cool island with all these really cool mysteries and all the answers we were given were absolute shit. So Cage of Eden, I really liked it until the last five chapters where it went to shit. So anyway, moving on to another thing that I checked out, which is actually kind of similar. Bloody Maiden. So it's a weird manga. So it focuses on a Nagatana team. I believe that's what they're called, the guys with like the bladed spears things. The swords tied to end of sticks. I can't remember what the actual name is called. I'm pretty sure it's Nagatana. So a team of them, 12 students and their teacher, they all go to this old island where one of the students actually visited her grandma there because she lived there, and the other student now actually owns the island because her family's rich. So they go there for training session. Once they get there, they were supposed to meet someone there, but he has gone missing. And they start finding all these things where it's like 13 maidens' souls have to be repossessed or like killed to save the island or something. And the entire time, there's some guy off in the woods listening to, like, classic metal on his iPod. I'm not even kidding. Like every single one of the chapters is named after a classic metal song. But, like, Alice Cooper, Iron Maiden, Metallica. Like, actually, I'm just going to look this up. I need to know what all the chapters are called, because it's just kind of weird. So yeah, like the first chapter is called The Man Behind the Mask. Next one's Number of the Beast, then Raining Blood, Dead Skin Mask, Welcome to Hell, Paranoid Rise, Angel of Death, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, The Evil That Men Do, Altar of Sacrifice, War, World Painted Blood. Yeah, I have no idea what's the point of that. Because for what I've seen so far, metal has played no part in this story whatsoever. Except for the one guy has his iPod full of the greatest hits of metal. Even the ones about Jason Voorhees. Because that's what The Man Behind the Mask is about. Yeah, Alice Cooper wrote a song about Jason Voorhees. So anywho. Yeah, so they all get to this island and nothing much happens. I've only read like the first chapter. Yeah, the first chapter was really boring. And except for the end, when the teacher gets slit up. Yeah, I have no idea what the hell is going on. There was some like backstory that was given about the island where it was. I believe the island's called Tomarinikani Island or something. Or it's like 13 Demon Island, where the place used to be like an island for bandits and pirates and stuff. But then they all got killed. But then they all got killed by like 13 of them because they were like possessed or some shit. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, the manga is not very interesting from the outset. The characters are kind of generic lady characters in manga and stuff. Which I expect them to go just crazy as time goes on. Because the first pages we got, the color pages before the flashback to the beginning of the story, was a girl just having like Agaton out, just screaming someone's name and charging at them and then just blood splattering across the page. So it could get more interesting. Doubt it, but it could. And that just cuts to a group of girls who I don't care anything about, and I don't know any of their names. And I have a feeling that if this was if it had an anime, it would have one of the same problems that the AKB-0048 anime had, where it just really annoying anime girl voices in stereo. Yeah. Yeah, and the art is really not good. Everyone kind of looks like they're made of rubber, if you understand what I'm meaning there. Like, none of them have, like, any really defined features except for their boobs. And they all, whenever they're standing, they look kind of weird and, like, non-natural. It's kind of like... It's hard to describe, but I have a feeling that whenever we get, like, into the action scenes, their arms will either be, like, rigidly straight or bending in some really horrible look, like they're, like, made from the boobs of, like, High School of the Dead. Like the entire bodies are, like, have the same physics as the boobs from High School of the Dead. Where it's just weird rubbery shit that doesn't like apply to actual like physiology. It didn't leave a very good first impression on me. Also the fact that like none of the characters refer to each other by name, barely any characters refer to each other not by name. A lot of them look really similar, and their entire introductions were like just going down just like every like the first, like, five panels of the thing were just introducing us to every single character. And giving us no real character traits about them, except one was like, I'm the best there is, I will defeat you, head of club thing! And she's the only one who got a real personality. And it was a really generic personality. But yeah, Bloody Maiden, I didn't really like it. It could get better. Like, as they start getting more and more insane as the time goes on, watching all their friends get murdered and shit, but I doubt it. Ugh. So anyway, Petatron, what have you been watching and reading?
Alrighty, let's start with a new-ish manga, I guess. I saw this one a while back. It was very new at that point. I'm like, let's see where it goes. And then it went somewhere, so now I'm going to talk about it.
Oh, goody.
called Love Tyrant. And it's an interesting beast.
Do you say beast in a bad way or a good way?
It's an odd one. Basically, let's bring it down this way. No, I'll just read it word for word from the description.
Okay, then.
One day, Gree, a female Shinigami holding a mysterious item, appears in front of the high school boy, Aino Seiji, trying to force him to kiss a random person. With Seiji choosing to kiss Gree, how will his Yandere crush, Hiyame Akane, handle it? Since normal love seems to have become a little boring these days, the gallant and troublesome messenger of love appears. This love triangle is a matter of life and death. So will Seiji survive this? Find out in this hypertension love comedy.
So let me see if I got this straight. A Shinigami appears in front of a kid trying to force him to kiss somebody. He then kisses the Shinigami, but then his girl, who's insanely in love with him, sees it, and now it's a love triangle of death.
That's kind of it. At the end of an early chapter, I'm not sure if it's the first one. I'm pretty sure it is. But as it turns out, she's not really a Shinigami. She's literally Cupid. She's kind of the same role as Cupid. She just cosplays for fun. That's literally the explanation they give.
I guess she's a big fan of Bleach.
But she has this thing called a kiss note. And it does basically what you might expect it to do, where you write somebody's name, and you put X and somebody else's name in, and the situation will, the universe will conspire to get them and will make them kiss in some weird situation, or, yeah, that's what happens. And basically,
It's a Death Note, but with kissing.
Yeah. And so what happens is she comes along and she's trying to do her job as a relatively low-level angel, which is what Cupids are in this. And basically, there's a rule of heaven in this that angels have to work or they'll be sent to hell and become fallen angels. They just have to be doing work.
So in this world, was Lucifer just really shiftless and work shy?
They haven't gone into that.
Is that why there's a hell now? Because Lucifer, God was like, hey, fill these TPS ports. Like, yeah, in a minute. It's like, to hell!
But anyway.
That's what I would love. I would love to see just, because later on this manga, Lucifer shows up, he's just some jackass hanging out in boxer shorts like a wife beater t-shirt, just drinking a beer like, what the fuck do you want? I'm busy. Just cracked up in a beer. I wanted to see like a lazy asshole Lucifer. Not like evil or anything, he's really lazy.
Yeah. It's just, there's this weird thing where Seiji, our intrepid main character, I guess. He's not so much a hero, but
protagonist.
Yeah. And there's this confusion at the beginning when he first runs into Gree, where if you... It comes across as if somebody writes your name in the kiss note, and you don't kiss somebody, you'll die. That's how it comes across to him. But as it turns out, if somebody... I think it was just the whole angels not working thing. So if she doesn't get him to kiss somebody, she'll die, and that's what leads him into kissing her. It's just like, holy crap, I'll die. Perfectly good person right here.
Yep.
And so... Eventually, well, not eventually, it happens very quickly. Very quickly, she ends up sort of falling for him, and...
Must be one hell of a kisser.
Loops him into her angelic protection kind of thing. Because there's the very attractive Hiyama Akane, who's sort of the school idol, and... So, as a sort of favor to him, she wrote her name in beside his. And then what happens when Akane finds out that Gree and Seiji both kiss, she kind of goes a little murder.
So, Akane is the Yandere, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I guess for people who don't know, Yandere is the opposite of Tsundere. Where Tsundere is, they love someone but really hate them. This is, they love them, and they really love them.
It's the, you know, overly attached girlfriend.
Yes. Only it's anime form, so meme. Picture that.
Yeah. But...
The eyes would be huge.
But basically what happens is that she, just before Seiji's about to be murderfied for offending the absolutely adorable relationship that he didn't know he had with this girl. well, he does get stabbed in the head. But as it turns out, Gree wrote her name into the group as well. So now it's a sort of love triangle thing. And because of that, anybody written in the book is under an angel's protection. Has sort of angel's protection until the situation is resolved. So basically angels are invincible. They cannot be killed by mortal means. So basically you get a lot of the gags coming along from Seiji getting in compromising situations with various females and Akane going crazy and chasing after him with combat knives.
you know, as most high school students have.
Well, DeAndre, what do you expect?
Not Hell of Knives.
But it's interesting. It's very interesting to read. I'm certainly not going to sell it short. Mm. But it is, like I said, an odd beast.
Yeah, I'm just from some of the stuff you've been describing it as, is it kind like with like the stuff with Seiji and the Yandere lady, is it kind of Dokuro-chan-esque? Because that's kind of what it's sounding like, where like, oh, he's under complete protection, but she's constantly trying to murder him and shit.
Sort of. It's just that the characters are a bit different. Like, she, Akane, does this with complete and utter malice.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's exactly like, but it sounds like similar gag type stuff.
Yeah, kind of. Just not so much head explodey as he finds himself running away a lot, getting, I forget what they're called. They're really big, sort of. The knives, they look like machetes, and they're sort of bent a little bit.
Huh. Yeah, it's,
they're like Indonesian, or, but
like the knives Crocodile Dundee had?
No.
Oh.
Then again, it's been a while since I've seen that movie. But
it's like, that's not a knife. This is a knife.
That's just a Bowie knife.
Oh, okay.
Which is a big knife, but it's,
yeah,
well, the big knife that's is sort of a little bent.
That one was a little bent. Bowie knife.
I wanna.
I'm gonna shut up now.
Now I'm gonna find it. now I'm determined to find this stupid thing.
Okay, well, just moving on. We'll put a picture of it in the. We'll use it as a picture for the episode.
Yeah, but I can't find it.
I gotta find it. Damn it! You find it after the show. Moving on. Just what else you got?
And there's an anime which is sort of old, yes, older, but called Bootlock Ninomiya Kun.
I did not hear a word of that.
Good luck, Ninomiya Kun.
Okay, so tell us about Good Luck, Ninomiya Kun.
As Shungo Ninomiya, our main character, is basically a normal high school student, as they be.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little, you know, normal plus. He sort of has a training from hell background.
Okay.
Like, the opening of the show is him roundhouse kicking a polar bear in the face.
Right. That would have made Lost more interesting.
But
roundhouse kicked the bear in the face.
And one day, his sister Ryoko sends two siblings in here, Tsukimura, to, well, live with them and eventually help Mayu overcome some of her problems. And one of the biggest of said problems that they're trying to fix is she's got a bit of androphobia, which is a fear of men.
Okay.
People don't know what androphobia is. And
yeah, I didn't know what it was.
She also happens to be a particularly potent succubus.
Okay, then.
As in the demon.
You know, as in the sex demon.
Absorbing life energy from people to survive and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
And she has the problem of really being able to turn off the attract all men power. So basically, normal guys sort of start immediately get all flushed in the face and go,
I have that literally what it is. Like, as soon as you watch it, boobs.
Whenever they sort of get, well, within range for power, which is a fair distance. But just the thing where if anybody comes in contact with her, her powers work fast enough to suck the energy out of people that you touch her for a second and you're just out cold. Which can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably.
Yeah.
Shingo has a modicum of resistance for some reason. It's never really explained.
Is it training from hell?
Possibly.
If you can roundhouse kick a polar bear in the face, you can withstand the power of a succubus.
And I mean, there are...
Fun fact.
There are plenty of times where there's definite temptation to do things because she is clumsy. It's sort of a fan service.
Mm-hmm.
To be completely honest.
Well, it's a succubus in an anime. Of course it could be fan service.
But, and his sister, Ryoko, sort of pushes this training that Mai is doing to get her used to men. She sort of pushes it to the limit. Like, you know, makes them share a bed at home when they're sleeping. And, you know, puts them in a bunch of compromising situations.
Mm-hmm.
Forced to be in very close proximity to each other. You know, she sort of needs... mischievous matchmaker character in the show.
Okay.
And there's also the student council president of the school who is sort of, well, not sort of, she is tsundere towards Shingo. And she ends up living with them as well as a maid. It goes to an odd place.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is this a harem thing?
It's a love triangle.
Okay, love triangle.
It doesn't really go farther than that.
Does it go full harem?
No. There are other girls who sort of enjoy tormenting Shingo in certain ways.
That means they like him. If playground knowledge has taught me anything, is that the more they hit you, the more they like you. At least I need to believe that to keep myself from crying at night.
But, you know, he generally is able to keep his honor by, you know, in the first episode, he dislocates one of his arms to escape from the ropes that he was tied up with.
Jesus Christ!
And jumps out of the fourth floor window at the school.
Fuck, and dude! What is wrong with this guy?
There's nothing wrong with him.
So all the ladies just kind of want him so bad. It's like, oh, fuck this! Snap his arm out of place and jump out a window.
Well, see, the thing is, he won't... His only tormentors are female, because he won't hit a woman.
Okay.
Basically. So they take advantage of that and sort of tie him down and make him do dirty things. Not really, really dirty. Just, you know, scene referring to. They're trying to make him look at their underwear.
Okay.
Stop that! he's freaking out. It's hilarious. And then he goes, okay, time to go. And he dislocates his arm, the ropes fall off, jumps out the window. Swings up, he starts walking away, and then a bunch of stuff comes falling from the sky on him, ostensibly from his... a combined effort from his sister and his male classmates to keep him on his toes.
Oh, okay. Oh. This is weird.
It is. I'm not pretending it isn't.
Yeah, seriously, like, so all the female students are sex criminals? Like, sex fiends? One of the guys is, like, training from hell. It, like, makes him, like, a combination of Riggs and every other, like, insane cop from every single movie ever. And then everyone else just wants to try to kill him constantly to keep him on his toes. What the fuck is up with this?
Huh, they're not trying to kill him. He's part of his training.
Which they're all in on.
Oh, yeah.
How? Do they, like, when they, like, introduce him, it's like, hello, I'm a new student. I've been trained for this long in these ways. I can roundhouse a bear in the face. Please, throw shit at me so that I keep my game up.
It's not by choice he does this. It's all his sister. PMC by herself. Corporation, for those who are wondering. You know,
good God, man.
PMC.
So he's part of a PMC?
Trained to be.
Okay. The humming's back, by the way.
Yes, it is. But anyway, I will attempt to stop it.
just hit it.
Just hit another room, man.
Just hit the room. It'll reverberate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But in any case, that's the gist of it. It's all for free, legally, on Crunchyroll. So you can check it out.
Yeah. Great website, Crunchyroll. Quite, yes.
I prefer perfectlylegaldownloadlink.com. There's just more variety.
No, it's completelylegaldownloadlink.com. We don't talk about perfectlylegaldownloadlink.com. They're assholes.
Right.
Yeah, Desktop Prods is brought to you exclusively by completelylegaldownloadlink.com. They're illegal. No, really. Please stop DDoS attacking them.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, put a try on anything else.
But, no, I think that's going to be the end of that.
Okay, then. So, on to news. So, you guys remember Robotech?
Nope.
Kind of?
Yeah, so it was an anime from, I think, the 80s, where it was about a war that was going on where the people had essentially Transformers, where they like be flying around in jets, and the jets turn into robots that they used to fight.
Oh, you mean Zoids.
What?
Oh, you mean Zoids.
Yeah, they transform into Megazords, essentially.
I mean, Zoids. It's another show.
Yeah, I know. I heard you.
Okay.
Yes. They turned into Voltron. You combine five jets and one that makes a mega jet. So anyway, Warner Brothers, for the past, I guess, 6 years, they've been trying to make an adaptation of it over in the West, and they have now tapped the director. So Nick Matthew has been hired by Warner Brothers to direct the big budget adaptation of Robotech. So, I'm trying to look up, I'm looking on this article trying to find anything that Matthew has worked on. And from what I've seen, he's best known for directing commercials. Yeah, that's all he's done. He's done TV commercials with really inventive CG, but he hasn't directed a movie at all, ever. So this will be his direct. This will be his directorial debut. They still haven't tapped. They still haven't gotten a writer to write the script or any actors interested in it. It's just they have a director now. They also have producers. One of them being Tobey Maguire.
Hmm.
Which is bizarre. Anyway. Moving on to our next piece of news. So, the 9th volume of the manga adaptation of Camphor has announced that the manga will be ending in the 10th volume. So, yeah, the 10th volume of Camphor will be the final volume of the manga. So, for those who don't know, the series Camphor revolves around a guy named Natsu Seno, who is an ordinary high school boy. You see a pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
Who one day wakes up and is a girl. And his stuffed animal is also talking to him. As it turns out, he's been selected to be a camphor, a female warrior who has to fight against women, who has to fight against other camphors who have a different color bracelet than he does, to the death because stuffed animals told him to.
And wait, I've heard of this before.
What?
I was just realizing that I've heard of it before.
Yeah, it's a pretty good series. I've been reading the manga a bit. I read a good chunk of the manga, and it's good. I like it. Pudge, have you read any of the manga?
Yeah, there was a point that I got to where it's sort of where they split, I guess. Mm-hmm. Anime and the manga split. I'm like, this is what?
Yeah, and it also is, it's really heavy on the lesbian stuff. And it's also a bit weird because everyone in the school wants to fuck Lady Natsu. Like, everybody.
Well, yeah.
All the girls and all the guys.
Uh-huh.
So no matter what... So, and the school is divided up into two sides, like the girl side and the guy side. And so no matter what side Natsu is on, someone wants to fuck him. And it's a bit strange. And it's also weird because he's in a love triangle with himself and the girl he likes. Because he's in love with this girl who's in love with the female him. And it's very strange when the girl you're in love with says she loves you too, but then when she sees you again, she says we're rivals in love for you. It's very strange. But anyway, I am not sure when the manga will be coming out. Not sure when the volume of that manga will be coming out. The 2-episode anime project, Camphor für die Liebe, will be coming out later this year, actually. So, another fucking Camphor manga. Excuse me, Camphor anime coming out later this year. So, anyway, moving on. So, North American publisher Vertical has announced that they'll be releasing the manga adaptation of Mamoru Hosoda's Summer Wars. So so Vertical said that the manga would be released in 200-300-page volumes, and would also include color pages and extras featured in Kadokawa Shoten's original release. The first volume is scheduled for release on October 22nd of this year, and the second volume is scheduled to ship in December. So yeah, that's cool. And then finally, and a kind of strange bit of news, the Japanese Red Cross has decided to give blood donors Naruto posters and other such goodies. So anyone who donates blood at participating locations in Tokyo, Kanagawa, Chiba, Saitama, Gunma, Tochigi, Ibaraki, Yamanashi, Nagano, and Niigata will get a Naruto poster. And if they are a member of a specific like campaign thing, if they are members of the multiple times blood donation club between the ages of 19 and 26, they can receive an original Naruto poster as well as one of 3 Naruto goods: either a mug with Minato on it, a mug with Naruto on it, or a Naruto Shippuden memo pad.
Totally would go for the Minato mug.
Yeah. So the campaign started on December 22nd, 2012, and is running until March 31st of this year. So if you're in Japan during that period, Donate blood a couple times. We get a Minotaur mug.
I'm honestly, when I donate blood, I'm happy getting the cookies.
Well, in Japan, like, do they give cookies in Japan?
They generally give some type of food because it's needed to help recover.
Yeah. Here, have some squid.
Actually, that would probably be better than the cookies because it's high in iron, but sugar also helps. So sugar and iron is what you need. And cookies are pretty good for that.
Yeah. It's funny, that's good. That does it for news. Now it's time for Anime Club. Kind of. So we're changing up the format a bit here. So normally what we do is we have the Anime Club at the end of this thing. We're just talking about the series in what is supposed to be in depth, but is actually just kind of us going, it's then ending. And then we release the Anime Club supplement, where we just watch the first episode, and then that's it. So we decided to change the format a bit, realizing that, you know, watching an episode of an anime, then talking about, like, 17 other different animes, and then going back to that other anime that we're supposed to be talking about at the beginning, is kind of confusing. It's kind of, like, confusing for us, because we forget a lot of the stuff. So, for now on, what we're going to be doing is the Anime Club is going to be its own thing. It's not going to be released on the same feed as the anime podcast, so you're not going to subscribe to anything new. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be watching the first two episodes of the anime and then talking about the rest of the anime that we've seen in general in one thing. So the Anime Club is not going to be its own thing released the same time as the anime podcast or a couple minutes behind or ahead of, depending on how lazy I am. And so, yeah, so for now on, the anime podcast is just going to be us talking about what we've been reading and what we've been reading and watching and the news. Then we're going to be releasing Anime Club, which is us watching the first two episodes of an anime, and then talking about the series in general. Hopefully that'll make the Anime Club more interesting, because that way we'll have more things to talk about, and they'll be more fresh in our minds, so we'll be able to remember things from later on in the series. And it may end up hurting the actual anime podcast, but, Hopefully the net result will be an improved quality of something. So yeah, this week we're watching Arakawa. This week we're watching Arakawa Under the Bridge. And so yeah, be sure you get the first two episodes to go check out that thing, and then we'll be talking about we'll give you our main thoughts on the series in general. So we'll see you guys there. But until then, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bovilon.
And I'm Predator. And it's called an E-Net. I found it. It's a I-Net.